I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier at Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. And the message today is titled, Do Paul and James Agree on Justification?
Well, today I'd like to talk with you about an apparent contradiction that we seem to see in the Scriptures. Now, first let me ask you a question. Are there any contradictions in the Bible? Jesus says in John chapter 10, Scripture cannot be broken. Paul says in his letters, all Scripture is inspired by God. God breathed. And Peter says in his letter, he says, pay attention to this, as to a lamp shining in a dark place. No prophecy of Scripture ever came by the impulse of man, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So, are there any contradictions in the Bible, Gianna? No, it's God's Word. But there are some that seem apparently to be a contradiction until you look at it closer and see what's really being said and that there's no contradiction at all. So today what I'd like to look with you at is a seeming or apparent contradiction on the most important doctrine of all doctrines, justification, how a sinner gets saved. And I would like to look at the teachings of Paul and James on this, because Paul seems to say we're justified, become righteous, declared righteous before God by faith alone in Christ. James, it seems, says not by faith alone, but by works. That seems contradictory, doesn't it? Do Paul and James agree? Let's take a look at this today and see what God would teach us about this. A great message from him through his word about justification and justifying faith. Let's look at Paul and James and see if there's a contradiction there or not. So, as we look at this, what can we say? First of all, let's just bring out Paul and James and their writings. Paul wrote lots of letters, right? And he speaks of justification by faith alone all over the place. James only has one letter and speaks of it in one place. So let's take a few of just two instances from Paul to start out here, set the stage. For example, Romans 3. Paul says in Romans 3:20, he says, no human being will be justified in God's sight by works of the law. Since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they're justified by God's grace as a free gift through the redemption in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as an expiation by his blood to be received by faith. And he says, for we hold that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. So, Dick, what does that sound like to you? Faith alone? Faith alone, because apart from works, what else is there? It's either works or faith. Paul says, not by works. Therefore, it means faith alone. In fact, we can see that same thing over here in his other letter. We'll just look at one more. Ephesians 2, that very super famous verse we all know by heart, or should. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Paul says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. Doing, not your own acts, not your own deeds, not your own doing. It's the free gift of God. Not because of works, lest any man should boast. So does that sound like faith alone to you, Bill? Faith alone, right? Not by works, not by our doing. Faith alone, free gift of God's righteousness given to us by grace. So that's Paul, and that's beautiful, and that's the true gospel. Now let's turn over here to James and see what he says. This is where we get to the apparent contradiction. James 2. Do you want to be shown, you shallow man? He says that faith apart from works is barren. Wasn't Abraham our father justified by works? He says, when he offered his son Isaac upon the altar. You see that faith was active along with his works, and his faith was completed by works. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Verse 24, listen carefully. James says, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Does that seem to be an apparent contradiction? What do you think? Paul says, by faith alone, not your own doing, free gift. James seems to say, by works, not by faith alone. So how do we bring these two together? Are they speaking contrary to each other? Or are they in agreement? Well, let's take a look at this now and see what we can say. First thing I'll note is this. The very fact that James, in his letter, mentions justification by faith alone shows that it was well preached and well known by his congregations, right? All the Christian churches, because he's mentioning this, shows it was a well-known and received doctrine of the church. Faith alone. Otherwise, why would he have mentioned it? So that's number one. That's a good news for us, because all the churches knew it's justification by faith alone, but he's addressing that. Secondly, we see through other scriptures in the New Testament that James and Paul were in agreement on the gospel. Paul testifies to this. For example, let's open up here, Galatians chapter 1, or 2 actually. Paul says, he went up to Jerusalem at one point to talk with Peter, James, and John and the rest of the apostles about the gospel, to confirm the true gospel, because there were certain false brethren who had secretly slipped in and were teaching false teachings, that you're justified by the law, by your works of the law. So Paul went up to Jerusalem. He says, I went up by revelation, and I laid before them, but privately, before those who have repute, the gospel, which I preach among the Gentiles, lest somehow I had been running or was running in vain. And then he says, and from those who were reputed to be something, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Who are those who are reputed to be something? Peter, James, and John. Okay? Those, I say, who were reputed to be something, those, I say, added nothing to me. In other words, did they change Paul's gospel? Not at all. Didn't add anything to it. He says, but on the contrary, when they saw that I'd been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter for the mission to the circumcised worked through me also for the Gentiles. And when they perceived the grace that was given to me, James and Peter and John. Say James. James. He's in this. That's the whole point. James and Peter and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised, only they'd have us remember the poor, which very thing I was eager to do. So, when Paul goes up to Jerusalem and lays before him the gospel, justification by faith alone apart from works of the law, what's James do? Amen, here's my hand, right hand of fellowship, brother, you're preaching the right gospel. And so, also, Peter and John said the same, right hand of fellowship, you got the right gospel, great job, Paul, go get him and save him, right? So is there agreement, Paul and James? Absolutely. Now, why then do we have this apparent seeming contradiction here? You know how to resolve this? Super easy. All we do is apply the number one rule of scripture interpretation, which is to read things in context. Just know who they're speaking to. They're speaking both to Christians, but to two different Christians in two different situations. Paul's people need to know how to be saved, and he wants them to know the true gospel and hold it fast. James's people are dealing with a different problem, as a matter of fact. What James's people are doing, to whom he's writing, they know Paul's gospel. I'm justified by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. But what are they doing? Turning that gospel into a license to sin. Saying, I'm saved not by my works, but as a free gift. Therefore, I can live any way I want. And they're continuing to live in sin and evil. And James is writing to them to say, let's get the right justifying faith here. Let's make a distinction. Because let's see if I can prove this to you. See if I'm just pulling this out of a hat or whether this is actually true. Let's take a look at James again here. Opening up to him. Was he rebuking them for living in evil or not living the right way? Let's take a look. 1 verse 22, he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. What were they doing? hearing the gospel, but not doing it. So he rebukes them on that. Verse 26, if anyone thinks he's religious and doesn't bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this man's religion is empty and useless. Religion that's pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and keep yourself unstained from the world. So what is the context of James's letter? They were not bridling their tongues, speaking evil against each other. They were also not taking care of widows, neglecting the poor and the orphans, and they were getting stained along with the world with sin. They were living in sins. We go on. My brethren, he says in chapter 2, don't show any partiality as you hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man with gold rings and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and then a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and you say to the man in the great clothes, have a seat here, please, while you say to the poor man, stand there or sit at my feet, haven't you made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Guess what he's saying? You guys are getting evil thoughts. When a poor person comes in, you scowl at him. You scorn him. You treat him shamefully. But you honor rich people. Does this sound like he's rebuking them for not living the faith to you? Absolutely. This is what he's writing to them about. He's writing to an audience who says, I'm saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, so I can live any way I want. It's a license to sin. He's rebuking them, saying, that's not justifying faith. In other words, Paul is writing to people who need to know how to be saved. James is writing to people who need a kick in the pants because they're not living it. They're just hearing it and thinking that's enough to be saved. And it is to receive it by faith alone. But then can I continue to hate people, speak evil, live in the world's sins, continue to look down on the poor, care nothing for anybody, and consider that a real faith? What James is writing here is to distinguish a true living faith, justifying faith, from one that is a sham and not justifying faith, but just false and empty. That's what he's writing. He's not saying you're not justified by faith. He's saying what kind of faith justifies you? One that works or the one that does nothing but continues in evil? For we pick it up here again. He says, verse 14 of chapter 2, James, what does it profit, my brethren, if a man says he has faith but has no works? What's the use of that? Can his faith save him? Notice he's not saying can faith save him or not. He says, can that guy's faith save him? A person that has no works, doesn't do anything good, but only lives in evil. Can that person's faith save him? What do you think? Nope. Who said that? Good job, Gianna. That person's faith is not a real faith. He says, if a brother or a sister comes in here and he doesn't have good clothing on, he's ill-clad, and he lacks food, and you just say, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things he needs for his body, what does it profit? What does it profit, Gianna? Is that any use? No, it's of no use. You didn't do anything for the guy. He says, so faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. So he's distinguishing, he's not saying you're not justified by faith or even faith alone. He's saying what kind of faith justifies. A faith that's alone and has no works? Dead. A faith that works, that's real faith. That's the real McCoy. Someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your works apart from your faith, from your works, and I by my works will show you my faith. So works give evidence. The word there in the Greek is deiknoumi, which means give outward evidence, give proof that you really have a real faith on the inside. You believe that God is one, you do well. He says, good job. Even the demons believe that much and shudder. Then he goes on, he says, do you want to be shown, you shallow man, that faith apart from works is barren? How about Abraham? What's our father Abraham justified by works, wasn't he, when he offered his son Isaac upon the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by works. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Let me ask you a question. Who knows this one? When was Abraham justified and reckoned as righteous by God? When he did this for his son Isaac, when he offered him up? Long before that, he was justified by faith alone in Christ, before he'd done anything. But what does his faith do? In the course of time, obeys and follows. And therefore, he says, James says, Abraham's faith, later on, it's completed because it's a working faith. It's doing something. He offered his son up, and he was called the friend of God. And he says, you should see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In other words, not that you're not justified by faith alone, but the faith which saves is never alone. So your works indirectly justify you because they show that you have a real faith. And in the same way, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so faith apart from works is dead. So here, let's bring it back. Paul is talking to people who need to know how to be saved. And so he tells them, it's justification by faith alone in Christ as a free gift. Rejoice, it's God's gift to you. Isn't that beautiful? The moment you believe, you're justified. James is writing to people who say, hey, I'm justified by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, so I can live any way I want. I can booze it up down at the bar into drunkenness. I can sleep around with all the girls in town. I can curse and look down on people and still say, hey, it's not by my work, so I'm in good shape. What does James say? Say, you need a kick in the pants. That's not justifying faith. We need to distinguish between real faith and fake faith. Between one that's alive and one that's dead. Be one that's a sham and one that's genuine. Between one that's hypocritical and the real McCoy. So real McCoy faith does justify you alone. But real McCoy faith always has works attending it. For this is the aim of our gospel, is that it's faith that justifies you, working then through love as the results of faith. So does that make sense to you? Are we in good shape there? So let me ask you a question. Does Paul agree with this? Do we find that same gospel in Paul's works? Does he say the same exact thing as James? Well, we read here in Ephesians 2. Let's open back up there. Should I leave my footnote in here? Sure, here it is. It says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. And this isn't your own doing, not your own doing. It's the free gift of God. Not because of works, lest any man should boast. What's the next line? Who knows it? For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So you're justified by faith alone, but then what happens? We're not created saved by our good works, but we are saved for good works. God wants a new life and a new creation, a new love to start springing up in you like a flower and growing up and getting stronger by the day. So in this same place where Paul says, and we're justified not by our own doing, but as a free gift of God, by faith, not by works. In that same book, Ephesians chapter 5, he says, be sure of this, that no fornicator or an impure man or one who is covetous, that is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Does that sound like James to you? Does that sound like James? Justified by faith alone, but then guess what? If you're going to live in total sleeping around, all this wickedness, and not repent of that, but just go ahead trusting in grace to save you, that's a sham. You're deceiving yourself, says Paul. Does that sound exactly the same as James? Right hand of fellowship. You got the same one as I do, Paul. Go. You're doing great. How about over here in Galatians? Paul says, a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And then a few verses later in chapter 5, he says, so you are called to freedom, brethren. Only don't use your freedom as an opportunity to live in the sinful flesh, but through love be servants of one another. So what's the aim of a justifying faith in God's eyes? That you have a new heart, a new creation, and you start loving each other. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you don't consume each other, says Paul. Don't be deceived. Galatians 6, verse 7. God isn't mocked. Whatever a man sows, he'll also reap. For he who sows to his own sinful flesh will from the sinful flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So, does that sound like justification by faith alone? But also good works attend a real McCoy faith. That's just the way it goes. Yes. So don't be deceived. Don't think, hey, saved by grace alone, through faith alone, so I can just live it up and live like the world and go along with the way they're going. Because Paul says, deceiving yourself, not real faith. By faith alone, say amen. Also, works should follow a justifying faith. Amen. Peter agrees. James agrees. Paul agrees. And how about Jesus? Does Jesus agree? We got James, Paul, Peter, John. How about the Lord? Jesus, does he agree with these things? Let's open up. I think I do have this one here. James 5. He says, verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, says Jesus, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He doesn't come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. What is required of us beyond believing right there? Nothing, right, Dennis? He just says, believes. Whoever believes, you got eternal life, you're out of judgment. You're into life. That's faith alone. Just a couple of verses later, though, he says, don't marvel at this. The hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life. Those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. So do faith and works go along hand in hand, Gianna? We're saved by faith alone in Christ. But then the faith which saves is never alone. We actually live it out. Paul says if you live by the Spirit, let's also walk by the Spirit. Don't just talk the talk. We walk it. Not that any of us are perfect in these things, but we're growing in love. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ, you are perfectly covered in his righteousness, perfectly saved, fit for heaven. But then love starts to grow in our hearts, and we're to grow in it more and more. If we sin after we're saved, what do? Repent. Repent quickly. Come to Christ. He's building us up all the time. We're growing in these things. Justification is instant perfection, righteous reckons to you, but then we grow in righteousness as the Lord leads us. So what is Jesus doing here? He's making sure we don't misunderstand the gospel. He's barring hypocrites from saying they're going to get into heaven on that day by just saying, I know you, Lord, and yet living like the devil. Because Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father, who's in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, depart from me. For I never knew you, all you doers of evil. By their works, they show themselves not to have had true faith, though they claim to have been Christians. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. So when we bring forth love and grow in these things, that's proving that we have a justifying faith. And you know the good news I have for you? When I look at you guys, you got it. The real McCoy, that's so beautiful. Not that we're perfect, but we're growing in these things. And I see living, alive, real McCoy faith in you. So rejoice in these things. This is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. Faith alone. And I'll raise him up at the last day. But then he says in Luke 6, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I tell you? You ever feel like that as a parent? You know, you're calling me mom and dad, but you don't do anything I ask. My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it, says Jesus. So, let's just keep and bear these things in mind. Do you think we need to hear this kind of preaching in the church today? You know that I looked up this survey, ABC News a number of years ago, 53% of Americans say they're Protestant, 22% Catholic, 8% other Christian denominations. That means 83% of people in America call themselves Christians. And I hope they all are. But do you think that's true? 8 in 10 people? There's so many people, priests, pastors, bishops, that are preaching license to sin from their pulpits. Preaching licentiousness, wrong things, wrong gospel, playing loose with the law, playing loose with righteousness and morality, and the wrong gospel. Are they actually part of the true, real McCoys, or is that a false, sham faith? And I've talked with people here who know other people that have been, you know, this guy says he's a Christian, but he sleeps with all the girls in town. And yet he says, but I'm saved by grace alone apart from works. I have no problem. I'm in good shape. Is that true? According to all these guys, James, Peter, John, Peter, Jesus, that is not a real faith. You need to repent and come to Christ for salvation and then walk as he walked in his ways. So we're just distinguishing between a real faith and a fake faith. And Luther, who championed justification by faith alone, from whom we take our name, said the same. In his commentary on Galatians, he says, chapter 5, verse 6, but faith must, of course, be sincere. It must be a faith that performs good works through love. If faith lacks love, it's not true faith. Thus, the apostle bars the way of hypocrites to the kingdom of Christ on all sides. To think if faith justifies without works, let us work nothing, if you say that, that's to despise the grace of God. For idle faith is not justifying faith, says Luther. In this terse manner, Paul presents the whole life of a Christian. Inwardly, it consists of faith towards God, outwardly, in love towards our fellow man. And our own confessions, Lutheran confessions there, say that you can't separate good works from a true faith any more than you can separate heat coming off of a flame. If there is a flame, there's going to be heat, right? The flame is faith. The heat coming off it are the works of love. And this is all really God's after with us. It's really simple. Confess you're a sinner, believe on Jesus Christ, and love one another. We're getting to the conclusion, so listen up. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. John says, and this is the commandment, that you should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. That's it, friends. You got that? You got the whole Bible. Believe on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, be justified, and then live it out. Love one another. And that's so beautiful. Are you doing this? I believe you are. And this is good news for you today. Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. What does that stand for? Or LCMS. You think it's Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, but maybe a better one is this. LCMS, love covers a multitude of sins. Isn't that beautiful? We believe on Jesus. God gets all the glory. Jesus gets all the glory. As the outcome of our faith, we obtain the salvation of our souls. And then we have the joy of wonderful Christian fellowship because love binds all things together in perfect harmony. And we're growing in this. We're not perfect, but we're growing in this. But you're already reckoned as perfect and righteous through faith in Jesus Christ as a gift of God. And so this is the plan of God. And in it, God restores all things to peace, quiet, and good, and builds us up through Jesus Christ, our Savior. In Jesus' name.